What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Monday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe with you on this Monday. And it is very much a Monday. Kind of running around like crazy this morning. But you know what? That's okay. That's what we do sometimes. Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What up, Nick?
Hey, hey. How we doing?
I am hanging in there. Ready to rock here on this Monday. A lot to get into. And you know what? Thank the good Lord. Training camp is here. The Titans will get things underway this week, so really looking forward to that. As they'll hit the practice field, we'll see DeAndre Hopkins and see everybody coming back, hear what Mike Vrabel has to say, and maybe we'll get an idea of exactly how good this Tennessee Titans team is going to be. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton at 9:30 today. He'll join us for his weekly visit, and then John McClain from Houston at 10:30. Of course, I had to get John on the show after the Oilers unveiling. So I got to get his thoughts on that, plus D-Hop and other things going on. But it was a good weekend. Relaxed a little bit, which I think we all kind of need as we get ready for this drive into training camp and the hustle and bustle. I mean, what was funny is I was kind of having a conversation with somebody about this, that there hasn't really been a down period like you usually see in the summer because we had – the NHL draft, obviously I do a lot with NASCAR, so the NASCAR weekend, we'll have Grand Prix coming up. Last week was SEC Media Days in our city, so there's been a lot going on that I feel like has moved the summer along, and now here we are at training camp.
It's almost like the vacation was the vacation to, I guess, cover everything, you know what I mean?
Pretty much. I mean, that's kind of how it felt, but we keep moving, and it is time now for the Pulse. Indeed it is. The trending topics, not only in Nashville, but just about everywhere. Wes asking if I'm all right. I sound exhausted. I ran in here. I was clipping something real quick and then had something else pop up, and I literally ran in here. So, yeah, no, I'm good. But the first one being, finally, after teases and speculation, and we all kind of knew it was coming, but they had fun with it. The Tennessee Titans have unveiled the Oilers uniforms, and I thought the video that they did was cool. It had Jeffrey Simmons, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Kevin Byard. They were all featured in it wearing the Oilers drip, the oil drip as they call it, but the old Houston Oilers, Tennessee Oilers look, the Columbia blue, and this was a snippet of the video that they posted on TennesseeTitans.com.
Over the years, certain teams have developed tough guy reputations.
Add to that list, Steve, the newest bullies on the block, the Oilers.
How's the pain, baby?
Here goes Earl Campbell.
Boom, goes deep.
That's a man, touchdown.
Touchdown, Oilers.
But there, oh my goodness, Eddie George down the left sideline. They won't catch him.
If you were part of that team, you'd know why. If you weren't, you'd never understand.
And so at this point, this is when it has the current players wearing the uniforms. And it's such a clean look. I mean, it just a classic look. The white helmet. There were a couple of iterations of the Oilers uniform. You know, the Titans, This is not the first time that they will have worn an Oilers uniform since they've been the Titans. They did it in 2010 with the AFL anniversary, but that was the all powder blue, the powder blue helmet with the white oil derrick. This one, to me, is the one that I always remember. It's the most iconic. They added the red face mask. The red face mask, to me, makes it with the helmet, but it's just a slick look. And so they're supposed to unveil, I guess, in a couple of days, what games. They're going to wear two games. And this is – I didn't know they were doing this, but this is replacing the light blue Titan jersey. So they won't wear that anymore. So they'll wear the navy and the white and then the Oilers. That'll be the look.
Interesting.
I like it. I'm good with it.
Yeah. I know when the Titans would go to Miami or just like an away game, they would always wear their baby blue jersey with white breeches. So that could be the good alternative, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, I think they tried – to work it out where they could wear it on a road game in Miami is what I was reading, but I guess that fell through, so they're going to do two home games here. I would assume the Texans is one, and then they'll announce another one. So I'm excited about it. I think, I think it's a cool look. They might have made a little bit too big of a deal of it, but whatever. I mean, you got to have fun with it, especially – get some hype leading into training camp. There's a video on Instagram that has the guys in it, and they FaceTime Eddie George, and he's like, oh, that's awesome. And it's like, for somebody that remembers when they came here, it's cool because it kind of blends it all together. And I know there's some people that are like, we're the Titans, we're not the Oilers. But they were. I mean, they started as the Tennessee Oilers. So that means we'll bring back the Ronnie Dunn theme song that I heard the morning show play it earlier. Keezer played it earlier. But so the Oilers jerseys finally revealed, and we can move on with our lives, which we move on in the Pulse to the Open Championship. Brian Harman, a Georgia boy, wins the Open for his first major, and he caught up with Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN after the tournament yesterday and just talked about his win.
I just had a really good frame of mind this week. I knew that it was going to be tough at some point, and just tried to bear down, and making a couple birdies on that front nine helped settle me down and just really got after it on that back nine.
I mean, he pretty much ran away with it. He was 13 under, and there was several guys at 7 under behind him. So, I mean, he had to really have a collapse to not win it. But pretty cool that, he's – guy from Savannah, Georgia, went to the University of Georgia. So the Georgia Bulldogs living good right now. Two back-to-back national championships in football, and now they got a guy win the Open Championship.
Living high on the hog, as they say. You know, it's interesting looking at the Sunday Sunday matchup for him, because the weather was not, in his favor. There was a lot of rain. It was just wet. And it's not that easy to play golf in that type of condition. I actually played golf recently with my dad. He invited me out to the Hermitage. And
it's a great place.
It is a very nice place. Played the Generals, didn't play the Presidents. Yep. But, golf is a very difficult, mind-boggling sport.
Oh, it is, and I'm terrible at it. But it's fun. I do enjoy it, like when I go out with buddies or whatever, and we have a good time. But I don't pretend to be very good at it. Even though we did our second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament at the President's Reserve at Hermitage. And I was with a group that include our GM, Sean Fort, our former GM, Dennis Quaisdon, our owner, Bud Walters, and then a bunch from the Predators. And they had me take a putt that was like a 30-foot putt, and I sunk it. So, I'll take that. I'll ride off into the sunset with that. And
putter drop.
Yeah, there you go, for sure. Also in the Pulse, the Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday, and I was excited about this class because I always respected Scott Rolen, great player. He goes in, but then as a Braves fan, the crime dog Fred McGriff gets in. McGriff was a big part of those teams in the early 90s that really put the Braves on the map, that got them to the superstardom. They won the World Series in 1995. Crime Dog was a big part of them, and just building that foundation. And so that was really cool to see. And he talked about getting the phone call that he had finally been voted in, and goes in and tell, to back into the living room and everything. And I just thought that was really cool. that that they those two guys, because those are two baseball guys that and really deserve it. And of course, every year, you know, when you see guys like that that you knew were on the up and up and everything during that era, the debate always arises, you know, should the steroid guys get in? I think they should. I mean, you can note it that they were suspected of using steroids, whatever makes you feel better. But, I mean, they're Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. I mean, they were guys that, you know, yes, they cheated the game, but they would have gotten in anyway. So I know it's a sensitive subject and it's a debate and it'll always be a debate. Even if they do get in, and I think they will one day, but you know, they, Pete Rose. I mean, there's a lot of different debates with it, but congratulations to Fred McGriff and Scott Rolen on being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And then another one that we're going to spend some time on because I think this is certainly interesting, and there's a lot of different opinions on this, and that is running backs. And are they being devalued? Are they being underappreciated? Like right now on ESPN, it says, are running backs being treated too unfairly? Well, there was a Zoom where a bunch of backs got together and they talked about the financial state of the position. This included Titans running back Derrick Henry. But it was Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs was there, according to Jeremy Fowler. And so they all got together and kind of talked about where things are with the running back market right now. Kimberly A. Martin of ESPN talked a little bit more about what took place during this Zoom.
They got on the call clearly because none of them are happy and deservedly, understandably so. But when I called people around the league to get a sense of reaction to it, there were two schools of thought. One was, yeah, this call really isn't going to do anything because, look, the tag deadline came and went. There's really nothing that these guys can do from a leverage standpoint. But here's another school of thought, which is, you know what? If this isn't just a one-and-done call, if these guys are actually open about their contract negotiation process, about what teams say to them, if these guys get together and are transparent about salaries, if they say, well, the teams are using our wear and tear, the proverbial tread on our tires against us, how can we as a collective get together and combat that?
That was Kimberly Martin reporting on that. So we'll continue that discussion. Do you think that running backs are devalued, or is it simply just supply and demand? We'll discuss that, take your phone calls and texts on that on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's Chase McCabe Show, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Well, I mean, right now it's just talking. There's really nothing we can do. We're kind of handcuffed with the situation. But, I mean, I feel, what I took from it, McCaffrey and Derrick Henry and Saquon, I had a lot of good points. But the biggest thing is that we're on a position that our production hurts us the most. You know, if we go out there and run 2,000 yards with so many carries, the next year they're going to say, you know, you're probably worn down. That's the biggest thing that I took from it. It's just, it's tough. You know, it hurts us just to go out there and do good. It hurts us at the end of the day.
That was Browns running back Nick Chubb talking about the Zoom that running backs took place in Saturday is when it was. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday. I found this interesting that, you know, they're coming together. You know, Derrick Henry's talked about it some and tweeted about it some. I'm sure it'll come up this week whenever he addresses the media, and his thoughts on it. But it was Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, and also Austin Eckler, who has been, you know, very outspoken on his deal and running backs not being paid. The problem is that I don't view this as they're necessarily devalued. I view this as there's a lot of them. Now, there's a difference in Joe Schmo running back and Derrick Henry. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they're special running backs at that position, you know, guys at that position, and then there are the regular guys that can just, you know, eat some yards for you and what have you. That, I think, is where the differentiation needs to be, because I feel like that, you know, there are guys that, you know, that, I mean, look, the Titans don't have the success that they have if they don't have Derrick Henry. And I don't think anybody will argue that. You know, that's the bottom line. Derrick Henry this year is going to make $10.5 million. You know, he signed that deal a few years ago that was, what was it, 4 years, $50 million, and half of it, I think, was guaranteed. Now, look, I mean, I don't think that's an awful deal by any means, but, you know, so he got his. But, I mean, there are other guys that kind of look at it as, you know, I think it was Eckler said that there was some backup. There's like backup receivers that aren't even starting receivers that make more than he does. I can understand being pissed off by that. And they have an argument. But the problem is, what teams will tell you is, well, you're right and you're special, but I can go out and I can get a guy to run the football and work in our offense and, you know, do it by committee and be just as productive at a cheaper price. And so they're looking at it that way. They're not looking at the guy. They're not looking at the player. They're not even looking at the production. They're looking at the money. And that's what it is. And, you know, even though these guys take it personally and they should take it personally, I get it. From the team standpoint, it's not. And so that's kind of where it is, and I don't see it changing. I thought Corey Curtis gave a really good answer earlier this morning when he was on Robbie and Rex Road when he was asked about the state of the running back market.
Unfortunately for these guys, there are a lot of talented guys who can carry the football. And it's not about the position and how much you're respected or disrespected. It's about how easily your production is replaced. It's why they don't draft a lot of them in the first round, because you can replace their production with a lot of guys from a lot of rounds. You saw the Titans, you know, Cedric Benson, Dontrell Hilliard. Are either of them as good as Derrick Henry? No, they're not. But they had several 200-yard game rushings with Derrick Henry out. They were able to replace his production. When A.J. Brown went out, they were never able to replace that production fully. And so that was why it's so hamstrung the Titans whenever A.J. Brown would be hurt, because they couldn't replace that production. When your quarterback gets hurt, you cannot replace that production. And so that's what it's about. It's about the ability to replace the production at a lower cost. And unfortunately for these guys, we're in an era with a lot of really talented guys, you know, some who don't even make rosters, that can carry the football.
That was Corey Curtis earlier this morning, and I think he was talking about Deontay Foreman, when Derrick Henry was out. But, like, just that right there. So Derrick Henry, in eight games that season, this was the 2021 season, had 937 yards, 10 touchdowns. Deontay Foreman had 566. Dontrell Hilliard had 350. You also have Jeremy McNichols that added 156. I mean, to his point, I get it. But at the same time, we all know what Derrick Henry means to the Titans. We all know how special Derrick Henry is. And that's the point that Derrick and a lot of these guys are trying to make of, yeah, you can replace our production, but it takes multiple guys. But the problem is they can get, I mean, Deontay Foreman, Dontrell Hilliard, Jeremy McNichols, and even Adrian Peterson that year, those guys combined cost less than Derrick Henry. That's the bottom line. And that's the unfortunate part. And it's also a credit to the guys that play that position that are coming up through college and then make it to the NFL, that there's a lot of talented guys playing running back.
It reminds me a lot of when in the NFL, a lot of coaches started weeding away from the fullback position.
Yeah.
I mean, this is almost, I wouldn't say spit image identical, but, you know, if you look at the fullback position in current football today, it's more of tight ends are filling in at that position, or H-backs, as some may call them. Like, the game is evolving from more of the pass-catching capabilities, not towards the run game, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, and like tight ends. I mean, think about how much the tight end has changed. I mean, tight end is now kind of a hybrid position between the traditional tight end, wide receiver, and in some cases, running back slash fullback. I mean, you use the H-back. I mean, there are guys that will line up. They're tight end, but they'll line up where the fullback used to be and can catch it, can block, can do all those things. It's just how the game has evolved, and you know, I think guys have to understand that. But yeah, to your point, I think like the traditional fullback does not exist. Like Lorenzo Neal, who's one of my favorites, who should be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best fullbacks of all time. His position does not exist. The tight end position that you know Mike Ditka played is completely different from the tight end position that Frank Wycheck played, which is also completely different than the tight end position that Chick Okonkwo plays. I mean, it's the evolution. The problem is the evolution with running back is resulting in there's too many of them, and therefore they're not getting paid like some of the other positions. And unfortunately for them, I don't think it's ever going to change. Because if I'm the league, you know, looking at, you know, playing devil's advocate, looking at it from both sides, if I'm the league, I'm going, well, you're great and we love you, but yeah, no, sorry. I mean, what are you doing to set yourself apart other than the production that you have when I can go get that with three guys that I pay less than you? I mean,
you're right. I mean, if you look at all these franchises now, they do 3 to 4 years of their current running back and then go to the draft and snag a guy in the second round. Unfortunately, you know, it's not the first round talents that you see anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong, fantasy wise, yes, but I mean, for actual.
Yeah, they're not going in the first round.
No.
Not many.
Like, if you look really in the grand scheme of it all, they go second round for the fact of a shorter contract. Teams, if they want to re up with them 1 more year, 2 more years, they could do that. But if they don't want to do that, they can say, sayonara, go sign with another team in the NFL. And then that's where you get the second hand. Maybe this guy actually has a breakout season on another team, or maybe they do re-sign him. And that's the unfortunate thing about the NFL.
I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs went 12th overall this year. What other – was there another running back drafted first round? I can't remember.
I don't know if Bijan Robinson with Atlanta was first round or not. He was. He was a podium guy.
Yeah, he was. So those two.
Yeah.
But how many receivers go first round, or, you know, defensive backs or pass rushers, quarterback, you know? I mean, it just
– it's unfortunate for the running back position.
It sucks. I hate it. Like, let me be honest. I hate it because, like, again, I can sit here and everybody that's lived here longer than 5 minutes knows the Tennessee Titans have nothing over the last few years if 22 is not there. Like, nothing. Even if you can sit here and you can go, you have three guys that replace that production, I get it. But you have those three guys that replace that production, then if that is how you did things for consistently for the last 5 years, they're not going to the AFC Championship game. We're not sitting here complaining about Tannehill throwing three interceptions in a playoff game because the way this offense was designed, it was centered around Henry, and teams respected Henry. They're not doing that for Deontay Foreman. So no disrespect to Deontay Foreman, but he's not that guy. That's why this sucks. So like, I get it. I understand why it's happening, unfortunately, but it still sucks. We'll talk more about this with Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. He joins us next. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, for weekly driver interviews leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, and one huge weekend event. Go to musiccitygp.com for tickets and get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event on August 4th through the 6th. Really looking forward to that. Also looking forward to our conversation with Jonathan Hutton. Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow is the show. 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Hutton joins us now. What's up, Hut?
Chase, good morning. Thank you for moving this up a bit. It got me out of a meeting, so it's a great way to start the Monday.
I am here to help you, and to be 100% honest with you, it was so John McClain could join me at 10:30, and I know how much John McClain means to you. So
yeah, no doubt. He could have done back-to-back hours if he wanted to. Yeah. I would not have my feelings hurt whatsoever.
You've obviously seen running backs over the years. There's obviously a pretty good running back that plays for the Tennessee Titans, but it seems that they're all banding together right now. They had this Zoom over the weekend that included Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, and basically looking at the position as a whole and if it is devalued. And my take on it is it's not necessarily devalued. It's just simple supply and demand. And teams look at it as even though there are special backs, like with the one that is in Nashville with Derrick Henry, but you can replace that production because there's a lot of talent out there. How do you view this, and do you ever see it changing?
Well, you know, the Zoom, first off, the producers that we're discussing, namely Saquon Barkley, when healthy, Josh Jacobs in a contract year, Derrick Henry in a year, Austin Eckler is severely underpaid compared to his production. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey is the highest paid per year and is as dynamic as they come when healthy. And I think the when healthy is the caveat here for the position that's, you know, with the wear and tear, the money's not going to be there based on the salary structure and the domination that the players allowed the league to have, allowed the owners and the general managers, the teams to have when they negotiated the collective bargaining agreement. I agree with what the top of the class is saying in regards to the pay structure. They don't look at it this way, but they did this to themselves just like they'll do it again when they negotiate. And here's why. It's not out of spite. It's not out of, you know, not looking out for the player. The veterans look out for the veterans. And here's what I mean, Chase. When they renegotiated the collective bargain agreement, this was back whenever Kevin Mawai was the NFLPA president and Damore Smith, this is 2011. What they did up until then, the rookies would come into camp and hold out. The rookies would come into camp and get massive signing bonuses. They would get big time contracts, and the veterans got pissed off because they were making, the rookies were making more than the vets. So what they do in the next CBA negotiation, there are two areas that were completely ignored. Kids in college, you know, the veterans in the NFL aren't going to negotiate on behalf of the kids in college, and they're not negotiating on behalf of the agents. And why I say that is a lot of the agents now, the top tier agents that have the top players, they're like first round guys, they are waiving their 3% on the first contract because the first contract is slotted now. There's really not a lot to negotiate. And what they want is that second deal. So the veterans got theirs. And what it did is it flipped a bit on that paired with the new rules and how they've tweaked things to be more of an offensive league. It's much more difficult on an island as a corner and they're protecting the quarterback now. They're not protecting running backs. They're protecting quarterbacks. All of that paired together has led to where we are, where, I mean, you've got Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs not wanting to sign their franchise tag. They eventually will because it's $10 million guaranteed. Saquon would be giving up over $590,000 per game if he sits out in any game. Right now, they're not going to get fined because they're technically not under contract. They haven't signed. So they're not going to get $50,000 a day on a fine for missing camp, but it's going to be perceived that they're disgruntled. They're disgruntled. There's just nothing they can do about it. And if they're on the Zoom call, I think partially that was admitted. And then the other thing was, oh, we need our agents to go to bat for us. Well, the agents aren't going to do anything when their hands are tied based on the rules that were agreed upon by Damore Smith and by the NFLPA, which continues to be the weakest among the PAs in pro sports in America.
Which is unbelievable. That statement you just made, but it's 100% true.
But it is unbelievable, but also keep in mind, like, they're getting more than what they had. So that was the power that they were going into and up against. And there's still a ton of money that is being raked in. And some teams do pay running backs. It's just not every team. Every team pays for the most part. Every team's going to pay a wide receiver. Every team's going to pay a quarterback, even if they're not that good. You're going to pay a corner. You're going to pay some of the top tackles. Running backs further down that list now, and it's it. I mean, Derrick Henry is the second or third highest paid running back in the league this year, and he's barely on the field on third down. So, you know, and he should be, by the way. This is not me saying he I want my best player on the field. Derrick Henry is their best offensive weapon, but he's off the field a lot on third down. And that's just how they choose to use the running back position now compared to the way they did.
Do you think that changes now that they have DeAndre Hopkins, or is it still, you think, going to be status quo and they'll put Spears or whoever out there to the, a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield?
Yeah, I think with Spears, they have an opportunity to be more of a two back and actually have a threat. Because I think there will be opportunities, Chase, and I'm eager to see how they pace him during camp, him being Henry. There will be opportunities for Spears to be on the field quite a bit, and I wonder if we don't see Spears have series, not just one or two snaps per possession, but series where we see him out there if he's productive. I don't know. I doubt it's scripted. I'm not taking Henry off the field on purpose. But if you can get something out of Spears in the passing game that, you know, everyone's talking about, everyone that I've talked to about him, and why you take the risk on a guy that won't admit whether or not he has an ACL. I think there's more use for him than just riding the bench the way we've seen Haskins or pass running backs do the same thing.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. So the news comes out Friday that after this entire offseason and talking about Kevin Byard and whether he would take a pay cut and how it was disrespectful to ask him to take a pay cut, he restructures his contract and ultimately takes a pay cut. Now, I know he can get it back there with incentives, but how likely is that? Why do you think we got to this point?
Well, I think they came back to the table and did in a different way. Meaning the pay cut earlier, the way it was portrayed to me, a pay cut and the approach is just, hey, here's your number, take it. We need you to take this number. A restructure is moving money around, but the player's still going to get his money. It's either going to be in incentives that are quote unquote likely to be earned, or it's going, like, for instance, next year he has a $4 million roster bonus. Kevin Byard does. Well, if he doesn't get that, he's getting more money. He's either getting traded and he's getting that somewhere else, or he's going to get some money in a new signing somewhere else because he's going to get cut. So he'll get a signing bonus there too. So he's going to get that money next year. Whereas this year, if he just took the sign, I won't be making sense here. If he just takes the pay cut this year, there's no extra money coming in and you're just losing that. So again, the way I would view this is if I'm the player, I want to be restructured and then have a bonus next year if I'm taking the pay cut, or if I'm cut next year because of the roster bonus, I'm going to get some of that money in a signing bonus elsewhere. And that would not have been the case if he takes the cut this year. It's just money he's guaranteed not to make. Now he's got the opportunity to make that money. And again, it's moving money around in his contract, which he's done before. And we didn't hear a whole lot about him doing that whenever they're trying to make room for certain players that came in here, because again, Byard's still getting paid. And in the first approach, I don't get the sense that the tone was all about that as much as it was taking the cut. Now it's more player friendly, but still team friendly. If you catch my drift there. And I think Rand Carthon did a nice job of trying to bridge that in what was a weird 3 or 4 weeks where it was just kind of a stalemate out in the open before the owners' meetings back in, what was this, March or May? I believe it was May whenever this all went down.
Yeah, I think it. I mean, it's been going on for a while, and I guess now.
Well, Carthon spoke about it in May for the first time. But I think it was right after the draft is whenever this got out.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, let me take that back again. Right before, because there was talk that he could be traded during that. Remember? So
yeah,
it went on a while.
Players report. Vrabel will speak tomorrow. Training camp is officially here. What is the biggest question on your mind as the Titans open camp?
Yeah, I mean, it immediately goes to Hopkins and Burks, and how fast Tannehill gets a rapport with Hopkins. There have been camps, Chase, where, and I don't blame this mentality, but it just hasn't worked out. There have been camps where they have tried to keep their veterans healthy. You know, it was the Julio Jones camp,
mm-hmm.
where they went down to Tampa and they played the backups, and the backups ended up playing the regular season anyway because everyone got hurt. Last year, more veterans played in the preseason. Everyone got hurt. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to the approach. They've got to play these guys. They've got to get in sync. You know, there's kind of this there's been this fog over, okay, who is this team all off season? Or is this a team that's looking for 2024, 25, whenever the contracts expire and they're starting to really rebuild and have the new era? Because they've done the same thing in the draft. They drafted a backup quarterback. They drafted a backup running back. They've gone out and signed a free agent. We've seen this before. Okay, what's different? Who is this team? Henry's back. Tannehill's back. Okay. Defense should be good. Now, they have to gel. And this has to be a group that – and Vrabel does, I think, a good job this time of year of balancing the priority of just staying healthy for September, which is so difficult, but also making sure that you steal reps. You don't have to go full speed, but you can steal reps in a glorified walkthrough that's more of a jog and a full speed type mentality. They've got to get Hopkins in and going, and I think that's a no-brainer. Beyond that, the offensive line, and we're not going to know that until the joint practices. It's like Dylan Raiden's his rookie year when he was, you know, moving around and all, you know, OTAs and mini camps. Man, this kid really good, you know. And then they have that joint practice, and yeah, no, he was quickly a backup after that. You can tell who's ready and who's not, and I think the focus should be on the center position with Ben Jones not there, and the communication up front that is pivotal to what everything is going to do or not going to happen for this team. Because you can have Henry, you can bring in Hopkins, you can do all these things. Can they protect their quarterback? It comes down to that. And those are the two areas I'm looking for. I think the defense is going to be okay. Yeah. They're not a huge concern, even though we had the discussion if we're overlooking that area. There's so many questions on offense. We have to overlook defense because we have to find answers there, because that's holding them back. Or it did last year. 16 to 18 points a game is pathetic. And it starts up front of the offensive line. And there have been changes. Even guys that they didn't want to have leave that were so crucial, like Ben Jones, are no longer there.
He's Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Hut, good to talk to you. Appreciate it. Talk next week.
Sounds great. I was with Eddie George last night, and Javon Kearse, and Kevin Dyson, a number of other former Titans. They all love the Love You Blue legacy jerseys, throwbacks, whatever you want to call them. I think the NFL's calling them legacy jerseys. They're fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to the two games and the first home game, not the first home game, but the home game where they'll unveil them is going to be awesome.
Oh, I think it'll be cool. And I hope they paint the field, Oilers and everything. Just go all out with it. I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a blast. I'm really glad they're doing this, and I like the league's finally. It's like whenever I left the farm, when I graduated high school and went to college, my dad finally went and got the zero turn mower, you know, it never happened whenever I was in high school, but you know, immediately zero turn mower. Finally, the NFL is allowing them to do different helmet colors.
Yeah.
Finally. And that's what made this – that's what makes this uniform, is the different helmet.
100%. We'll talk next week, Hut. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Coming up next, there was something I saw over the weekend that has to do with soccer that got my attention, and I think it will get a lot of attention. We'll talk about that next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Here it is. Messi!
And
it just shows you, man.
Unbelievable. Lionel Messi scoring the game winner the other night in his debut for Inter Miami. I was watching it, and it was like, it was one of those things I couldn't turn away from because the anticipation. And I think this is huge for MLS. You know, the fact that you're going to have the biggest star in the sport now in your league. Does Nashville SC play Miami again this year?
They do, but it's in Miami.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine? Like, you wouldn't be able to sniff that place.
I couldn't probably breathe that day. That would be pretty incredible. I didn't grow up a Barcelona fan, but I can easily tell you that Lionel Messi, and anybody can, Lionel Messi is the greatest player to ever play the game.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think so. I mean, is this the most anticipated debut of anybody ever?
I would probably say so, yes.
In, like, American sports, I guess?
Absolutely. Hands down. I mean, if there's anything that comes close to that, it would probably be David Beckham. Excuse me. David Beckham when he went to LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
Back in the day. That's probably about it. I can't really think of anybody else besides that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good example. But, I mean, my friend Ricky used the perfect analogy to describe this. This would be like LeBron James deciding to leave the NBA and go play in the EuroLeague. I mean, that's kind of what it would be. Max Hirsch just walking in like he owns the place. Hi, Max. wearing a Jorge Posada shirt. What is that? Get that out of here. I mean, it would be similar to that. Like if LeBron left and went and played in another league, that's what Leo Messi did. But it got my attention because we wrapped up our summer ticket tour broadcasts at Pringles, which was awesome. I was doing the afternoon show with Adam Vingan, so I'm like, I'm gonna have a pop after. Sat down at the bar, Rick was there, Sean Ford, our GM, you stopped by, a couple other people, and the game was about to start. They turned it on and I'm like, oh, this is Messi. And he's on the bench, like he's starting on the bench because this was League's Cup and, you know, kind of wanted to, you know, ease him in and everything. And they kept showing him like every 2 minutes. He's just sitting there on the bench and it's like, okay, when's he coming in? When's he coming in? So I end up I'm like, okay, I got to run home and everything. And so I change locations. I run home, change, go out for the night. And I'm like literally walking to the next place and it's on. And it's the game's wrapping up. And I see him line up for that, for the kick. And I'm like, oh, no way, no way. And bam. And it was just like, I didn't care. I didn't have a dog in the hunt. I got excited. The whole bar is excited. There was a dude next to me that apparently had a good chunk of change on it that was very excited. And it was just like, this is what they wanted. Because no telling, and look, we can sit here and, you know, for a team like Nashville SC, and they won last night 2-1, Hani Mukhtar, that was huge that they were able to get the win. But we can sit here and complain about Apple TV Plus and the TV deal. And look, I think for teams like Nashville SC that are still building a fan base, even though I know, well, like they sell out and all that stuff, like that's great. You got to get more people other than the ones that are just in your stadium, and not being able to watch on network television or cable is difficult. This is going to help that because I think there are people that are going to be so intrigued by Messi that they're going to take in the product.
Absolutely. I believe in Messi's contract, he has a little bit of incentive with Apple TV Plus in his contract just due to the MLS cap and all the above. But, I mean, Messi's goal, getting back to Friday night, Messi's goal was intriguing because the way the ball was placed on the field, it was more in favor of a right-footed free-kick taker, and Messi ended up taking it with the left foot. And, I mean, he put it in a spot where mama hides the thin mints, as I would say. It's it's incredible. The way that he goes onto the field, and he is immediate, just different player. Like, he makes sure everyone around him is actually playing at a better pace. To set up that free kick with Sergio Busquets, who actually played with Messi back at Barcelona, and Jordi Alba, who is another ex-Barcelona player that played with Messi, is coming to Miami. So there is going to be a Barcelona-esque feel in this Inter Miami squad, and I mean, there was a comment made, I want to say roughly a couple years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, Luis Suarez said that, you know, and I'm just, you know, paraphrasing, that he wants to enjoy the game at the last stages of his career with Lionel Messi and a bunch of the guys that they play with at Barcelona, because that's what the game is about. The game is about having fun, passion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. So that you're about to see a lot of fun and passion come out of Lionel Messi.
As I mentioned, Nashville SC won last night 2-1 over the Rapids. But I can tell you that there will be more Messi talk on this show, because I was intrigued. And great players like that will draw you in, no doubt about that. Coming up next, I heard a question on Robbie and Rex Road this morning that had me going, when I was listening. We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.